Hey, this is Mike Evans. Listen to every episode of Schlereth and Evans on demand at denverfan.com. Presented by Siltahar Motors. The car buying experience is as easy as call, click, or come in at Siltahar Motors. Get upfront trade value with one call. Research and compare vehicles at sthmotors.com. Or come in and ask for Greg Larson and get $500 off any purchase. Siltahar Motors. Easy to find and conveniently located right off Highway 36 in Wadsworth. Siltahar Motors. Get everything you want out of a dealership.
Ladies and gentlemen, can I please have your attention? I've just been handed an urgent and horrifying news story.
Time now for the DenverFan.com front page.
Stop what you're doing and listen.
Taking a look at the top stories in Denver sports, taken from your online home for the best opinions and information on the Broncos, Nuggets, Avalanche, Rockies, and more.
What in the name of Dan Issel?
With today's DenverFan.com front page, here's Schlereth and Evans.
News team, assist!
By the way, where I don't remember what the name of Dan Issel. That must have been one of his Sports
Was that
Center
in
tours.
The movie?
I don't think so. I think it was like a Sports Center tour or something.
Do I need to reach out to our own personal Google?
Please do, because okay. That one's got me.
Listeners, Google, was that line from Anchorman, the movie, or was that just from one of his... Yeah, like you said.
Like his appearances.
Is Ron
back
Burgundy.
Back when I was working at ESPN, he would come in as Ron Burgundy.
He did interviews.
Like, he did an interview with Peyton Manning.
Yes.
If you remember.
Yes.
And as Ron Burgundy on Sports, he'd be like, this will never work. Sports Center, it'll never work. This is a ridiculous idea.
Here we go. Let's get into it. DenverFan.com, the top stories. As Andrew Mason writes, Broncos wanting more from their special teams. Dwayne Stukes has been brought in, the latest to rescue the Broncos special teams. And we've had colorful special teams coaches, but lousy special teams. So, Mark, if you had to choose between one or the two, don't give me one of these bailout. Mm-hmm. Well, it's a little bit of both. No. Has the issue with special teams been the last couple of years coaching or just bad players?
Okay, so normally, Michael, I would, I would point to the players, but like the lack of depth, lack of talent of roster, but the last few years, it's been the coaching. You got to get the best out of your players. They're not responding for whatever reason. That like the coaching and the fact that you're constantly giving up your returns. You're not covering kicks well. You're getting punts blocked. You're like, that's coaching. It doesn't take a lot to not get a pump. Like, you can't get fooled every week, right? That's coaching. That's a lack of...
But these aren't coaches that were like raw special teams coaches. These are guys with resumes.
No, I understand.
McMahon's still coaching. He moved on.
Yeah.
You're throwing water balloons on a battleship.
I don't care that he's still... it was awful. It's just been awful.
I don't know how to really use a phone very well, so...
Well, what do you got? What do you give me? You tell me.
How can you tell me on one hand? You have been a huge banger of the drum that, boy, the Broncos personnel, there's been a talent train here for years, and... the Broncos' talent just needs to be upgraded. Well, how can you say that on one hand and not think that that's going to have a huge impact on the kind of special teams units you put out there?
Yeah.
It's a direct correlation.
Well, I told you that it's a little bit of both, and you got all uppity. You got your panties in a wad.
You can't say it.
Now you're saying it's...
I am being definitive. I'm saying it's the players. They've had bad players. They've had guys who... probably shouldn't be on an NFL roster who are dotting the end of your roster and you were counting on to go out and play special teams.
That is true. Still, you know what? They still ought to be able to execute a punt pro.
Dwayne Stukes is the latest to try to
fix it. All right.
At DenverFan.com, Malik Reed is the subject of a Cecil Lammy article. That Malik Reed shined yesterday at practice, and he did. For all the concern, we're talking about the key storylines this year, right? Whole milk, 2% skim. The idea that
Bradley Chubb and Randy Gregory represent huge risks. Do you look at that as a big deal? Because here's how I look at it. Is that, okay, what's always said about these two? Well, if they can stay healthy.
Right.
I can say that about every football team that's trying to contend.
Yeah.
Everybody needs to stay healthy. You brought up this conversation that you guys had at the summit, the Fox NFL Summit last week, that you can just draw a direct line correlating between a team's health and their ability to compete for a Super Bowl.
Yeah.
So to me, it's if you just put that aside, well, duh, assuming good health, I don't worry at all about Bradley Chubb and Randy Gregory, what they're going to be able to produce. I think they'll be terrific. And now you're telling me I also got Malik Reed playing the Shaq Barrett role? I love what this pass rush could do.
Yeah, I think the other thing about that, and I'm with you, like, is it a concern? Of course it's a concern. It's a concern that Russell Wilson stays healthy, that Courtland Sutton stays healthy, that Jerry Jeudy stays healthy, that we had Jerry Jeudy for the first game of the season. I called the game against the Giants, and he was terrific through, what, three quarters until he had the high ankle sprain, and then he was done for, he was on the shelf for the next 6-7 weeks. So, yeah, of course it's a concern. It's always a concern, but I look at that as like a risk. The reward outweighs the risk. And the other thing is you better have great depth to spell these guys. You can't go say, hey, Bradley Chubb, we know you're coming back from this foot injury and this ankle injury and these knee injuries and stuff. Go play 65 plays for us every game.
Mm-hmm.
You better develop depth so you can have a great rotation. That's the way it works.
The good news is if the injury bug hits Chubb again or Gregory is slow to come back, you feel really good about the idea of just being able to plug Malik Reed in.
Right, and they move Brandon Browning, right, out there and... So they've done their due diligence when it comes to adding depth out there. They drafted a guy from Oklahoma to be out there
Benito,
as well.
Yep.
Benito.
DJ Jones gave us an update yesterday on his back, as written at DenverFan.com by, again, Scrappy Will Peterson.
Mm-hmm.
But DJ Jones came out and said, I need some conditioning. I'll be fine. Yeah, everything's cool. I feel great. And ready to go. Still, though, maybe it's I've been just scarred so much by Michael Porter Jr.'s trials and tribulations.
Sure.
That whenever I start hearing about backs, I get nervous. And DJ Jones, they took it easy with his back during the OTA season.
Yeah.
Now they're doing it again. 17-game season looming ahead. Where is your confidence level that DJ Jones will be able to go the full season without having to manage that back?
Oh, he's going to have... The Broncos are going to have to manage his back. Once you have back tweakage...
Is that the full medical term?
Yeah.
Tweakage?
Well, there's levels of tweakage.
Uh-huh.
There's tweakage. And then there's... Yeah, there's like... tweakage, and then there's, sustainable tightness, and then there's, like, then you got to be very careful with this one, the bulging disc in the back.
Mm-hmm.
And then there goes to the herniation. Right now, he's just at the tweakage stage.
You think it's just tweakage?
Yeah, you got
it. As long as we keep it to tweakage, we'll be fine.
Tweakage is good.
Occasional spasm.
Yeah, spasm. That's another one that gets in there.
Yeah.
So you have the spasm.
Boy, there are a lot of classifications of back, huh?
I'm telling you what, the back is, it's tricky, Mike.
What did you deal with? Did you deal with tweakage, strain, spasm, bulging disc?
Uh-huh. Yes.
Or like all out just...
Well, it went from...
80-year-old man.
It went from bulging disc in my back to herniation.
Ooh.
Where the doctor said, and I quote, if we don't get on this, you could lose control of your bladder and bowels.
Get out!
Yeah, that's the herniation. I was like, hey, Doc,
well,
I got enough problems controlling my bladder and bowels.
Dude,
uh-oh.
Based on what I see here every morning,
right,
it didn't work.
You think I should sue? Like they did the they did the surgery wrong.
You might want a refund.
I want a refund on this. You guys
or a redo?
Right. You guys actually tweaked my my bowel control valve.
That's right. Talk about tweaking.
Mm-hmm.
Jake Shapiro writes about Ronald Darby having to leave practice a little bit early. Boy, what a great play that was at the end of the practice yesterday. Great way to end practice. A beautiful deep ball from Russell Wilson. Cortland Sutton going up high. Good coverage. Nothing wrong with the coverage of Ronald Darby. How do you feel about the... We've been going on and on and on, spending all this time talking about Patrick Surtain.
Mm-hmm.
How about that other corner? How much of a storyline is that to you? The... how Ronald Darby fills that spot.
I don't. For me, that's not much of a. It's not much of a storyline at all. Like, as long as Ronald Darby is healthy, again, you know, we use the help, but that's you can say that about anybody. Then you know he's fine. He's a good player, really good player, and it's nice to not have to be the number one. So that's good. I think the bigger storyline, Mike, is the nickel. I think that's a bigger story.
Kaywon Williams is the guy they'd like to be the guy.
Right.
But he's been banged up.
He's had an injury history. If you look at him over the years, and he's a really good player, you know, again, when healthy. It's very much the same conversation we had going into camp last year with Bryce Callahan.
Yep.
When healthy, the guy's really good, good player.
Yeah.
It's just he hasn't had health long enough. He hasn't had enough health.
The Dan Issel line, by the way, what in the world of Dan Issel, was Anchorman 2.
Was it?
Yes.
There you go. I don't remember exactly.
That was not as good.
Anchorman 2?
No.
Well, I mean, some would probably argue iconic movies that neither of them was any good. They were just hilarious.
Well, the first one was brilliant.
I don't know, brilliant.
Oh, it was brilliant.
Brilliant.
Brilliant. Come on.
That's a big word.
I think that's a fair word. I think that's a very apt word.
Kind of a big deal.
That'll do it for what's going on at DenverFan.com. You can check all that out, all these free stories, all this free content to you. It comes to you in waves throughout the course
great
of the
day. Great stuff, by the way.
And check that all out. As always, it is free at DenverFan.com.
Well, at what point will Magic Mike Evans be putting up, posting another blog?
I believe that'll drop tomorrow morning.
Have you written it?
No. I wrote a blog, but I got great ideas.
Do you now?
Great ideas. My melon is just overflowing. Ideas.
Pretty gosh darn terrific.
Yeah, it is gosh darn terrific.
Somebody brought up a good point. Where would Iron Man Chris Bryant's back woes fit on the Mark Schlereth back woes scale? Kind of like...
Yeah.
It's like DEFCON 1 through 5. Where's sleeping on jail beds?
Oh, gosh. That is... I mean, it's a career ender. It's a career ender.
That's worse than a bulging disc.
Yes. Oh, yeah. Yeah, it is worse than a bulging disc, herniation. I mean, that thing will send you right into... I mean, the only thing you can do is lay on a Tempur-Pedic for the rest of your life. I mean, that's it, in traction.
I want to get to one other story. It's a story written by our Avalanche insider.
Okay.
Adrian Dater, ColoradoHockeyNow.com. Andrew Mason is going to join us in a couple of minutes. Is the idea that, according to AD, Nathan MacKinnon wants to become the highest paid player in the NHL. Now, before we just say automatically, of course, do it. I mean, it's Nathan MacKinnon. It's Nate the Great.
Right.
Connor McDavid right now is the highest paid player in the NHL.
And I think we certainly, during that... playoff series against the Oilers, we certainly saw who was the more impactful player, right?
Right.
People said Connor McDavid is the best player in hockey, and that series was just there was a delineating line between, okay, if that dude's the best player, well, what's this guy? Because he's better.
Exactly. Couldn't have described it better. Connor McDavid is in the midst of an 8-year, $100 million contract with Edmonton.
Okay, how much is that per year?
That's $12.5 million per year.
Okay.
I know, because I did not do the math. I'm just looking at the...
They've got it written out for you?
I'm just looking at SpotRack right now.
Okay.
They do all the contracts. So, okay. So, 8 years, $100 million, $12.5 million. Nathan MacKinnon has been working on a very team-friendly contract, maybe the best contract in all of hockey for the last several years, and he's basically looking to double it. Avalanche, as we know, they're not afraid to spend money. Plenty of guys are making big money.
Right.
Now, NHL salary cap, that is a hard cap. Hard to play games with that cap. And it's not a cap that's going to be going up that much over the next couple of years. It's just going to inch up basically a couple million bucks every year for the next few years. So it's not like you're looking at a big, huge NFL-type ballooning of the salary cap over the next few years. So,
okay.
How do you do it? Do you give in to Nathan MacKinnon's demands, or do you tell Nathan MacKinnon, look, we want you here, but you have to give us a hometown discount?
I'd do anything known to man.
You don't ask Nathan MacKinnon for the hometown discount. You reward him for what he is. The best player in hockey. Homegrown. Guy that you brought up. Guy that has worked his ass off and done everything the right way. Changed the culture of your locker room. Like, that's a dude you don't even think about it.
You don't.
It's just done.
You don't.
Now you may ask.
Speed. So much speed.
You might ask other dudes to give you the hometown discount. Because you get to play with Nate the Great.
Uh-huh.
But that's a dude you're like, what's the going rate? Oh, mm-hmm. It's 8 years, $100 million? Okay. 8 years, one whatever.
Mm-hmm.
$105, $110, whatever, however you gotta figure that out.
So I got criticized because I'm not in a hurry to have Russell Wilson go and reset the quarterback market.
Yeah, which is dumb, but go ahead. Okay. I mean, you're entitled
to... Okay, whatever.
You're entitled to your...
Fine.
Dumb opinion.
But in this case, I don't even blink.
Right.
Because there's no doubt I'm looking at...
Right.
And here's the thing about MacKinnon, is that the struggle, the playoff struggles, much documented for the Avs over the last few years... It was in some respects, I think, it held MacKinnon back a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
It was a pressure that I think, a burden that impacted him to a certain degree.
Mm-hmm.
Now that they've won the cup and he's broken through, I think there's a whole other level to his game that he's going to reach.
That's terrifying
for the rest of the league.
That is scary.
So
how, now let me ask you this.
So to me, it's like, am I okay with him resetting the market? Damn right,
yeah.
Because I think you're looking at a guy that easily could be called the best player in the league.
All right, let me ask you this, though. Any concerns? Because I know that he's still young. He's got 9 years in the league. What is he, 26 in 9 years?
He'll be 27 this year.
Okay, so McDavid is younger. You gave him an 8-year deal. Any concern about the 8-year deal for MacKinnon? At 26.
I want you to close your eyes for a second, okay?
Okay, all right.
Eyes are closed. He actually is closing his eyes, folks.
All right, they're closed.
Close your eyes. Right. And I want you to remember that play during the playoffs where he went end-to-end with the puck and scored.
Oh, boy.
I want you to remember that.
It was glorious.
And do you think that those wheels are going to slow down anytime soon?
Not in the next 3 years or 4 years, but.
And then after that, he becomes the wily sniper who just maybe isn't as fast as he once was, but still lethal, still knows how. He becomes Ovechkin-like maybe he doesn't have the same wheels, but the guy just knows how to score.
At what age do you become wily?
Wily. Well,
and there's a crossover,
right?
There is
a crossover. Well, isn't that what the Broncos are trying to do?
With Russ.
With Russ. They're trying to get him to the point where he can be...
Wily. I think so.
Mm-hmm. It's a great
But there's an age and there's a maturity
just this maturation process that you have to go through, and you have to lose a little something, right? You got to lose a little. If you can have that gas every now and again, but sometimes you don't have the gas, but yet you're wily, like a pitcher that loses a little velocity on his fastball, but still every now and again he has it. But for the most part, didn't have it every night, but he still gets out.
Lefties tend to be wily.
Well, yeah, lefties probably hit wily at a much younger age because they don't.
They're not the traditional flamethrowers.
No, although everybody throws absolute gas.
Now, yes.
By the way, which is incredible, this is off topic, but...
You going off topic?
I read this thing about Verlander. Maybe the best four-year run. Maybe the best four-year run in the history of Major League Baseball from a starting pitcher, you know, that was traded or whatever. Think about Verlander is pretty near 40. I saw him throw 99. He's sitting at 9,900 the other day. He is an absolute freak show. How good that dude is.
Do people listen? Sometimes I wonder if some of you, do you listen? I just got a text saying, oh, now we need to wait and see on Nate as well? Get out of here. Nothing will ever be good enough for you. What did I just say?
No. Yeah, you.
What did I just say?
Pay him instantly.
Yes.
There's no wait.
Because I have no problem with him resetting the market because I believe you reset the market with Nathan MacKinnon and he probably goes out and wins the MVP next year.
Mm-hmm.
Get your damn act together.
Jeez.
Yeah, get it together.
Dude. Pay attention.
Yeah, you're 100%. Yeah, come on, dude. Like, get for real.
This is why you can't pay Kadri. You can't. Although, way things going.
Right.
Kadri's going to have to come limping back here, hat in hand, and say, you got anything for me?
He would have to take a hometown discount. Any other reasons you could think of?
He's got whatever he thought he was going to get,
yeah,
he's not going to get.
Are there any other reasons that possibly slowing down the market for Kadri?
I think the league is, in this case, actually gotten smart.
What do you mean by that?
Can't look at you right now. I turn away while I offer my opinion. Is because it's what we all looked at with Kadri, is that, okay, it was a career year, but it was a career year and a contract year. And he is getting older. And everyone would agree that if you sign Kadri to one of these deals, the first half of the deal will probably work out, but the second half may not age well. And honestly, it's not so much now about, hey, this guy is somebody you can't trust come playoff time because he may get into trouble, he may lose his cool. I think he answered those questions with how he handled himself. And he proved himself to be, you know, one of the emotional heartbeats for the Avalanche. But I think it just comes down to the league has gotten smarter, and they look at it and they say, we're just not going to overpay for guys who are going to be playing the whole contract in their 30s.
Yeah.
We're just not going to do it. And they're not the only league to do that. And other leagues are starting to do that. The NFL is doing it. The NBA, all the leagues are saying we really don't want to spend money on guys in their mid-30s.
Right. I think the other thing is you have to look at where you had the majority of your success as a second liner. Are we going to pay a dude, hey, man, he's incredibly productive, but he doesn't have the pressure of being the guy every night. He's the guy who is second fiddle to the guy.
Mm-hmm.
And so are we going to pay first line, quote unquote, money to a guy who's had his success on a second line? I think there's a question there.
At some point, you got to draw the line. Look, you're going to be paying MacKinnon, if not the biggest contract in the NHL, the second or third biggest contract in the NHL. You're paying Makar. You're paying Landy. You're paying Rantanen. You just paid up with Nichushkin. You can't pay everybody.
Mm-hmm.
You're paying Girard right now.
Right.
Although that may be a contract they look to move. But you get my point.
Yeah.
The Avalanche spend money, but. Yeah.
Reminds me of a Toto song.
Oh, wait a minute. Hold on. See if I can figure it out.
Yeah.
Hold the line.
Hypotico.
Air high five.
Boom. Just so proud. Fever doesn't even know what's going on. No, he didn't even know what hit him.
He's smiling, but
yeah, he's like, he didn't know what he's laughing at.
He doesn't know the joke, but he figures everybody's laughing, so he'll laugh along with
it. I know that song.
You know that song.
Oh, he knows Hold the Line?
That song. Oh, very
good. It's not that old.
Okay.
All right.
Our analysis of Training Camp 2022 Ready to Ride is presented by Mountain High Appliance. Andrew Mason, our senior Bronco writer at DenverFan.com, joins us next.
You're going to need a bigger boat.
It's time for Schlereth and Evans' Big Story of the Day.
Why is it that you're so big?
Here's Schlereth and Evans with this morning's biggest story in Denver sports.
Big mistake. Big. Huge.
Nothing bigger, nobody bigger than Andrew Mason, senior Bronco writer at DenverFan.com. He joins us now. Morning, Mace.
Hey, how you guys doing?
Good. Hey, yeah, you cover the team every day. You're always out there. What do you expect to be the biggest change or the most visible change when ownership changes later on this afternoon?
Oh, honestly, in the short term, like in terms of what we see every day on the field, I don't think you're going to see much in the way of immediate changes. I think the biggest changes are going to probably come just on the outside of that. It won't be like snap a finger and be done. I think it'll be looking maybe at the stadium a year from now, even if they decide to build a palace on the prairie out towards the airport. I think the biggest thing that'll change will probably be some immediate capital investments in some stadium upgrades, maybe some technological upgrades in the stadium and maybe at training camp and at the facility, some upgrades out there. Maybe this time next year, the training camp experience for fans looks a little bit different. Maybe there's more shade to cover the hillside. Maybe there's, more stuff going on outside of the walls as people are walking up. I really think that the football changes per se have already happened. There's not a lot they can do or that they're going to do. It's going to be quite other aspects of the football experience that change right away.
Well, there is one thing they could do if you're looking to make an immediate statement and maybe curry some immediate favor and make a great first impression, and it's something that we've debated here. You give Russell Wilson a monster contract and do it like immediately. And say, okay, we've been on the job here a couple of weeks, and here you go, Broncos country. Here's your shiny quarterback with a brand new monster Deshaun Watson type deal. Don't you love us now?
That would help, but I mean, is that really a change? He was the quarterback before; he's still the quarterback. You're just codifying that over the over the long term. That's more kind of a symbolic thing. Now that probably, in terms of their to-do list, that's probably going to be, if not number one, right near the top of things that they can do right away. And look, if you do it, there's wisdom to that, because if you believe Russell Wilson is going to be the answer for the next several years, if he plays well, he gets more expensive over time. That's the thing. The price tag for a top-level quarterback will go up and up and up. So there's reason to do that, but what you're looking at on the field wouldn't change just because Russell Wilson got a big deal.
Hey, as we move forward in this scrimmage, like Mike and I were discussing this scrimmage against the Dallas Cowboys, usually these are two-day events. Is it simply just scheduling? Like why not a couple of days against the Cowboys as opposed to just the one day that we're going to see? I know, talking to Tom Telesco of the Chargers, the GM of the Chargers yesterday, the Cowboys leave here. They go out to L.A., and they have a two-day scrimmage against the Chargers next week. So why only one day here in Denver?
Well, I think part of it is because they had that set up with the Chargers. The Cowboys, the rumblings are, and I think there's a lot of validity to them, that they really didn't want to do more than one because they were going to have the extra work with the Chargers. So Broncos were just kind of caught with a team that had kind of had its dance card filled up. And part of it is, of course, the Cowboys train out in California. And so typically they do these types of things with teams that train in California. They've done stuff. I know that in the past, I believe they've done stuff with the Raiders. I know they've done at least a couple of things with the Chargers in the past. And so I think that from what I've gathered, that's sort of the thing that the Broncos really were interested in doing 2 days, but the Cowboys were only not as interested in one kind of was the a little bit of the compromise and, you know, basically being better than nothing for the Broncos.
As we watched Russell Wilson once again at the end of practice yesterday prove that he is arguably the best deep ball thrower in the NFL, totally understand what they're trying to do to add a different element to his game, make him get rid of the ball quicker, work the underneath and all that. But are you concerned at all that in their quest to do that, that they may go away from his undeniable strength?
Not particularly, because a lot of his deep plays are ones that come off script, off schedule, when he's buying time. And when you're talking about receivers, kind of sometimes they're breaking off their routes. And so that's where you're leaning into Russell's ability to kind of work beyond the play design. And that's the other thing. Like, part of his strength here is that he can, because of his improvisational ability, because of his ability to extend the play, that he's able to take the basic play design and ultimately give it a chance to be something better when things break down because of his natural talent. And the other thing is, a lot of those are deep balls. And when you see that his deep passes have been more often than not on the money in training camp. The pass to Courtland Sutton yesterday. I mean, that's what you should have been doing more of with Courtland Sutton all along, giving him a chance on those deep jump balls one on one. He's going to come down with a lot of them because that's a skill set that he has. So, Frank, I mean, I've seen enough to where I think all the aspects of Russell Wilson in terms of going deep that have been there are still there. He's just trying to make his game more well-rounded.
Last one for me, Mace. As the Cowboys come into town day after tomorrow, what are two or three things that you'll be paying close attention to in regards to the Broncos and what you hope to see?
Going to be paying attention to how the inside linebackers look, especially in coverage, because there have been a couple of busts there in recent days. Going to look on the offensive side at the offensive line, and in particular, even though it appears to be settled in terms of who's going to be in the lineup in week one at the guard spots, just going to look and see how the interior trio of Miners, Cushenberry, Reisner, how they deal with the pressure the Cowboys generate up front. And then also, I want to see how Calvin Anderson does on the edge. Yesterday was a rough day for him going against Malik Reed. Malik Reed had his way. And I think you want to see him have the kind of practice against another foe that's going to generate confidence. And then one final thing for the defense at large, going up against an offense that doesn't look completely like the one that they see every day in practice. And that's one reason why you do this, is these joint practices, to get a look at a team that throws different concepts at you that you're going to have to see in the regular season and see how they react.
Good stuff. You can check out Andrew Mason at DenverFan.com. Also follow him on Twitter at Mace Denver, and of course hear him on all the shows. Broncos senior writer at DenverFan.com, Andrew Mason. Andrew, thank you.
No problem. Have a great day, fellas.
All right, coming up next, we continue to play the whole milk, 2% skim milk when it comes to the top storylines. What are the most important storylines, and what are storylines that really aren't that important? Got a couple more. I'm going to throw at Stink. He loves games. He's so excited. He's like a little kid right now.
Yeah.
You're just like clapping your hands. You can't wait.
Giddy.
That's next.
Mountain High Appliance presents Training Camp 2022. Ready to ride. Here's Schlereth and Evans.
Is it kind of a concern that as we played this storyline game throughout the course of the show, is this Bronco storyline, you know, so important, so crucial that it's a whole milk storyline or 2%? Or, hey, come on, this isn't over-exaggerated storyline. It's not that big of a storyline, skim milk, that we haven't had any skim milk ones yet. They've all been either whole milk or 2%.
Yeah.
Right? So there's like a lot.
The majority of them have been whole milk.
So that means there's a lot of issues.
It means there's a lot of questions that have to be answered.
All right.
Hey, listen, when you've had the struggles that the Broncos have had over the last, let's call it 5 years, because at least 6 years ago they went 9-7. They had a winning record, although they weren't a playoff team. But the last 5 years, they haven't had a winning record, not one. Nary one, Mike. Nary one.
It's you using nary.
Yes. Anyhow, there are more questions than there are answers.
All right, here's one. Okay. I think we can get this one in the skim milk category.
Okay, good. Good. Lay it on me.
The storyline
is
how are the Broncos going to use Javonte Williams and Melvin Gordon?
Oh yeah, that is skim. That is totally skim. You know what? Who cares?
Exactly.
They're both great. Well, let's not say great.
No.
But they both have the potential. They're both really good. I think Javonte Williams has the potential to be a great back. Mm-hmm. But that's a great issue to have. Not only how you're going to use them, how you're going to figure out, you know, who gets the most carries and, you know, what's the split going to be. And like, oh gosh, please. Like, of all the things on a Nathaniel Hackett's, you know, worry meter list, that is at the very bottom. Like, that's the bottom of the barrel of the worry list right now. And by the way, plus, how much kind of diversity do they provide if you want to go two backs and use both of those guys instead of a true fullback? Like, now all of a sudden you got to, as a defense, you got to go, how do we match this and what do we do? Like, they just give you options, man. That's totally skim.
I hate to heap praise on this guy. Stokely. Stokely.
Yeah, it's not good.
But I was listening to him the other day, and I will admit, and when he talks about receivers, I do listen closely.
Oh, daddy, no.
Do you know?
Because I do. Try not to hurl.
Oh.
I do consider him an expert on it.
I mean, he played 15 years.
I know.
Super Bowls.
That's all self-evident, but it still stings to say it.
Yeah, you're around Stokely, you end up being great.
Yeah.
Stings the nostrils. You're right.
Anywho, uh-huh. He was talking about Melvin Gordon as a route runner the other day.
Uh-huh.
And I was like, wow. You know, he was really laying it out in a way that I think Melvin Gordon has been just tremendously underutilized in the time that he's been here. Remember when we were doing those film breakdowns of new Broncos,
mm-hmm.
It would be a homework assignment for all of us to do. And we were asked to look at a bunch of games of new Broncos and come up with our opinions. And we looked at Melvin Gordon and there was one game that we all broke down. And this is when he was playing with Phillip Rivers,
uh-huh.
In which he lined up, not as a running back. He lined up as a receiver in like four different areas. Outside,
mm-hmm.
Slot,
mm-hmm.
In motion.
Right.
Lining up as a back, but then going out and mm-hmm. catching. So
also lining up wide and coming back in for protection.
Correct.
All that kind of stuff.
So that was something that we talked about that really excited me, is that this is a versatile guy that you can use in the passing game.
Yes.
And they just really haven't.
And, yeah, well, I mean, you know what, because we were busy, you know, working on incompletions. Yes. And then yes. The whole narrative of we're going to be a team that chucks it down the field, right? Because yeah. We got a young gunslinger,
right?
And, you know, and, right. And I mean, just the whole thing was a debacle.
Yes, it was.
It was a debacle.
So,
like I said, that's why this.
Tim Patrick goes down. Hey, I'm excited about the idea. Let's put Javonte Williams and Melvin Gordon out there.
Put them together. Both in the backfield.
Yeah.
Make the defense decide. So I just love the thought process. I love the fact that it gives you just another personnel grouping that when you trot it out there, especially if teams haven't worked on it, like you haven't shown it in the preseason, all of a sudden week one, you trot that out there, you know, and I know they'll have talked about it, right? But there's one thing to talk about it. There's another thing to actually get reps. So how many reps are you going to give your team defending that?
Mm-hmm.
Zero?
Mm-hmm.
Maybe one or two tops? Then all of a sudden you come out with a package and you're like, hey, man, this is our red zone package. Now what? And you're all, I love it when the defensive coaches and the players are all scrambling, like, what? I've been in that huddle before, right? When some new guys come in or different defenses, they're playing something they haven't played on film in the last 4 weeks. You're like, what are they in? You know, and it's just, I mean, complete
panic
and confusion and shouting and yelling at each other, you know, and you can't line up. I mean, you're going to make mistakes in that situation. So, yeah, I'm with you on that. I've always thought that although I've never thought that Melvin and, you know, I mean, people could be mad. I've never thought that he was at any time in his career one of the top five guys. He's a really good back, but never one of the top, like, oh, gosh. But I've always thought he was a complete back and complete player at that position. I've always thought that he could blitz pickup and that he can run routes and that he can, you know, line up in different positions and that he can be your feature back. Like, he's always been that guy.
Yeah, so when anybody talks about how are they going to use Javonte Williams and Melvin Gordon,
yeah,
skim milk storyline.
Total skim.
It's water.
Thank you for bringing up at least one skim story. You got any other thing?
Mm.
Are you pretty much done?
Let me look at my list. We've gone through quite a bit. I mean, yeah, I've been writing check marks next to each one we've gone to.
Your little yellow legal notepad.
Yeah.
We need our handy dandy.
No. This is not a handy dandy
notepad. This isn't handy dandy.
This is just a legal pad.
This is like a legal pad.
Mike goes with the legal pad.
I'm like a lawyer.
Do you buy
like a Grisham novel?
Yeah. Do you buy those or do you get them from the supply closet?
I used to get them from the supply closet. I'd pilfer those, but I wasn't stealing. I was using them for work.
No. Well, I'm not accusing
you. Well,
I'm not
accusatory. Accusatorial.
No. I like to go to the supply closet. I used to. I haven't been there in years since COVID. But I used to probably make a trip to the supply closet every 6 to 8 weeks.
Yeah? To get what?
Just to see what was in there.
Like what would tickle your fancy?
Like sometimes I like the red felt tip pins.
Ooh, yes.
I like those, you know? So yep, I wanted to see if they had any of those in there.
Yep.
You know, my money clip has been with me now for 22 years.
Pull out that money clip.
I got this.
Pull it out.
I got this money
pull
clip.
Pull it out. Look at that. Jesus.
That is from the supply closet.
Okay.
From ESPN supply closet.
That is even a money clip. That's just a...
Just one of those paper clips.
Paper clip type things.
Like the paper binder, like when you have a big stack of papers.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Hmm. When's your birthday?
January 25th.
Hmm.
Okay. Don't even try to get my wife to try to buy me a wallet or a real money clip.
No, why not a real money clip? Like something...
Nope. This is what I need. I am good.
If I went on and spent some money on a nice money clip?
No, I would not.
You'd like re-gift it to somebody else?
Yeah, I'd be like, hey, some dude gave me this. You want it?
Wow. All right.
Yeah.
Oh, before I leave, I promise this guy was pestering me all show
long on the text line.
On the text line. No, it was a good. It was a good pester.
Okay.
He said, "Can I get a birthday shout out to Vance in Mead for his birthday? Stink is his hero, and you can't blame a guy for trying. Vance's dad."
Yeah.
Well, happy birthday to Vance in Mead.
Yeah.
Oh, wait, whoa. Why am I saying it? You're his hero. You say it.
Hey, Vance. Happy birthday, Vance and Mead. Happy birthday. I hope you have a glorious day and a blessed rest of the 2022 year. How about that? Just have a glorious day, man. Enjoy it. Enjoy it.
That's good. That's good. Awesome. Way to finish. And we'll end on that note. Can't think of a better way. Good job. All right, everybody. Thank you for listening. Fever, good job behind the glass.
What do you go, Beef?
And we'll turn things over to Chad and Nate as they're ready to take over from UC Health Training Center. Bronco practice ready to start in about an hour, and they're there for it next.
Hey, it's Mike Evans. Siltahar Motors understands sometimes bad things happen to good people. That includes bankruptcy. If that is you, you can still purchase a car at Siltahar with zero money down in almost all cases. This is a program they've been doing for 25 years. The dealership itself is almost 60. Family-owned business that is proud of their reputation and proud to be a huge part of the Broomfield community. If you file bankruptcy, Siltahar Motors can help. Zero down and no payments for 45 days in almost all cases. Contact Team Zero Down at 720-446-9222 or online at sthmotors.com.